Tired of chasing fleeting social media hacks? Join us today as we debunk myths and discover the real secrets to sustainable content success. Because let's face it, real work leads to real results. Stay tuned. Strategy Talk is next.
Let's strategize together. Let's hear it from an expert. Join the conversation, it's informative and free. You and me, let's talk some strategy. Now here's your host, Doreen Morin Van Dam.
Hello, everybody. Another Tuesday and another Strategy Talks. My name is Doreen Morin Van Dam, and I welcome you. If you're here live with us on Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube, welcome. If you're watching this on the replay later today or later this week or maybe another time, make sure you put hashtag replay in the comments so then that way myself and my guests can see your comments. Feel free to tag me. Last but not least, as always, want to welcome those of you who listen to Strategy Talks as a podcast. Today, I have a wonderful guest. She is a returning guest. She's with me. I'm going to pull her right up on stage because we're ready to go. Her name is Mally Hart, and Mally and I are going to talk about stop chasing hacks. Welcome, Mally.
Hi. Glad to be here. Thrilled to be back.
I know. So we're in the green room talking about hacks. You and I have been in business for a long time. Your bio says 18 years. I've been 14 years. We've done this a long time. Gurus have come and gone. People have tried to figure out hacks to make things faster, better, make more money faster, better. And we were just talking about a couple. Let's just start off with this one that you were talking about in your weekend roundup just this past week. You want to kind of share what the hack is and why it's a bad idea?
Yeah, it's more than a bad idea. This one's actually pretty gross. And that's not a term I generally apply to marketing efforts, but this one is. Yeah. I can't remember the guy who originally posted it. We'll have to pop it in comments or something, but people are using the pronouns section rather than to reflect their pronouns. They're using it to add extra marketing keywords and wow.
Yeah. So let's unwrap that. So instead of, you know, she, her, or he, him, they're putting content marketer or, you know, guru. And yeah, when you shared that this weekend, it popped up for me. And I have to admit, I fell for it. Somebody told me that 2-3 years ago. I did that. I think I put content marketer in there for about a week. And I felt gross. And I was like, this is so wrong. This is not what it's intended for. It is one of those hacks that you're like, oh, and then you're like, no. And, you know, there's a lot of those kind of things out there that, you know, when you run a business, one of the things that you do or you should be doing is setting your mission, your vision, and your values. And that's where I think you have to dive deep into, like, what are my values? Do I really want to do that? And this is one of those, like, no.
Yeah. And it just goes to show that even people who've been doing this for a long time, I mean, we're susceptible to the hacks too. I mean, we all want to make our lives easier, more streamlined and, you know, strategize. But sometimes you just have to go with that gut and like, no, like you did. No.
Yeah. So let's talk about algorithm hacks, right? We're all obsessed with algorithm. Like we want to know where a lot of my friends and myself, we're all following Instagram. Like, oh, there's now, don't use hashtag. Yes, use hashtag. You know, like we drive ourselves crazy. Like, can we hack the algorithm? We were just in the green room talking about LinkedIn vertical video. It seemed like a hack. It's not a hack. You guys, if you've watched me, if you follow me, you know that I've had a lot of success in August. It was pretty good in September. We are now into November. And I have to work five times as hard to get half the impressions. It's not a hack. The algorithm changes. So what do we do about that when somebody says, do this? How do we process this information? I think that's what I'm asking, Mally. How do we discern what's wrong, right, and what's going to work for us?
I think you have to take the algorithm seriously, not literally. You don't want to be chasing it. You want to appreciate it. You want to understand it, and you want to reflect it in your content. If that algorithmic style of content works for you. But there are plenty of people who jumped on to vertical video and didn't even see anything in the good time of August. You know, it just didn't work for their community. And I'll probably pop in audience accidentally but I don't like to think of anybody as an audience. I like to think of them as a community. But, you know, I used to be on TV. I'm not scared of being on camera, but I haven't really jumped into the vertical video because it's not what I enjoy doing, for one. And it's not really what the people who come to my feed are expecting or possibly even want. Do they want to see my mug? You know, I don't know.
They just want to know you do your work, right? So yes. That makes a lot of sense. So as far as algorithm, instead of following hacks and instead of trying new things that are more like tactics, right? Stick with your strategy. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think you might have taught me that, because I was learning a lot from you when you and I first connected. But one of the things, and I've repeated this 100 times, but if you're kind of new to social media or you're a business owner and you're testing this stuff out, just remember, when a platform pushes out a new feature, the algorithm favors that new feature. So that's not necessarily a hack. That is something that is just known. That is what works. When Facebook pushed out live, anybody who dared to go live had that wider reach. The same just happened with the LinkedIn vertical video feed, right? Anybody who dared early got that extra little push. Now it's a lot more saturated with people. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot more to be seen in that feed and to get to get seen. So that is not necessarily a hack. That's just kind of knowledge of what happens with platforms and features.
Yeah. That's the platform, you know, doing their own trial and error and testing. I mean, they're not interested in hacks. The platforms aren't hacking, you know, they're trying to do what's going to earn them the most money. And I think we always have to remember the platform's in it for themselves. They're not there for us. So like right now, Instagram, sorry, is testing, you know, adding music to images, and those will show up in the Reels thing because people want to show up in Reels because the reach. But again, remember, Reels aren't getting the most engagement. Carousels are. So you have to factor in all the bits and pieces. It's not a one and done proposition. Reels, they're going to get me everything. They aren't. They're not going to get you the engagement.
Right. And if you're watching this and you're like, hey, I need to do more on Instagram, depending on your audience, stories might work better for you. Right. Yep. So it's all when we talk stop chasing hacks, what we're really saying and what you're really saying is you need a strategy. Right. And you were in the green room and you said you need an ecosystem. And I love that. So Mally, explain that one.
I'm not even really sure how I know what I meant when I said no. I did say that marketing is an ecosystem. There's no single part of it that's more important than the other. So if you're talking about the marketing ecosystem, I always have my hands. Yeah, flash my hands.
That's okay.
You know, you have to have the research part of it. You have to have the trial and error part of it, the tracking and monitoring. You have to have the creativity portion of it. You have to have the willingness to try something that might fail. So your own bravery is part of your ecosystem. And, you know, so all of those work together. Content itself, the images that go with the content. Are you on brand? Are you on voice? Are you on topic? Just because a topic it becomes trendy doesn't mean that your community wants to hear that topic from you when you've never spoken about it before.
Yeah. So there's another thing that I kind of want to dive into. You're a graphic designer. Correct.
That's how I started. Yeah.
So, you know, here we are, 2024, the year of AI. We have access to tools like Canva where you can go in and create anything. And the biggest hack that I've cringed about, and I've watched these videos and I'm like, I can't believe people do this. They say, Okay, 5 minutes and you can create 100 images with quotes on Canva. You upload a CSV file, you upload the file, you have all the quotes in there, and then you just change your background. And I'm sitting here going, oh, who wants to see that on social? Just because you can.
Doesn't mean you should.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the biggest crock, the biggest hack that's been going around to me that I've seen. And people are just sharing this over and over and over. Just because you can do that and you can upload all those quotes and you can bulk create, you know, images, doesn't mean you should. It just is not going to look right because it's going to look like everybody else's. Sure, I use Canva templates, 100%. I love using Canva templates. But I personalize them, I change them, I brand them, I might add new elements. Very, very rarely do I take one, change the colors, and use it as is, you know? So we still need that human brain. So as a visual designer, as a graphic designer, what has AI done to you, and what are you seeing some of the mistakes that people are making, or what questions are you getting about AI?
Well, okay, so I'm on board with AI. I think it's a time-saving tool. It's a tool. It's part of your toolkit. It's not, my belief on AI, first and foremost, is it shouldn't be used to create final product, okay? So, except maybe with imagery from time to time, okay? Not everybody's a graphic designer. Not everybody can get out and take photos. Not everybody has the time. Taking photos, your own photos, takes a lot of time. That's a lot of time and effort. And then editing them and everything. So for example, I, on my blog, use AI generated images, but I have worked really hard to make my prompts match my brand. So see, there's time and effort and trial and error and research in that to do that. But the graphics I use on social media, I create myself. They're in Canva and I have a template, but I made the template and I set it up and it's my color scheme and I set up my branding and my logo and it, you know, shows up in different places and I flip the colors based on what I'm trying to do. I don't think AI should be shunned by anybody, even for graphics creation. Now, if you're using it to create art to sell, that's a different topic, and I'm not on board with that because I also paint. Yeah, see behind me? But I'm not anti-AI. I think AI is the tool, just like Canva is a tool. And I'm not against Canva versus Photoshop. You know, that's a snobby thing. They're both just tools. You can create really ugly graphics in Photoshop or Illustrator if you don't know what you're doing. But overall, AI for imagery, I think you just have to take care, like you take care with anything. You have to put in the effort and the research. You have to double check and make sure, you know, do the eyes look human if you're going to do people? How many hands are there? The other day I ran a prompt and there were 3 arms. I was like, well, that can't work. You know, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But I think we're looking for time saving before we're looking for quality. So we're looking for quantity, just like you said, with the create 100 quotes. Or I saw a lady post the other day, you can create a year's worth of content. I was like, why would you want to?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. And it was really heartening to see in the comments. I didn't comment. I kept out of it. I kept my mouth closed. But, you know, it was heartening, not disheartening for once, to see someone say, yeah, but how's the quality of that? And how's it going to work if you created something a year ago and you never checked to see if it was still relevant?
Right. You know?
That's the important part about using AI. And even for imagery, you know, is it relevant? Is it biased? That's the biggest thing with AI. You know, is it biased? Is it always going to put a white man in the photo? Or the image?
It does a lot.
Especially if you say you want a doctor or something. That's one of the biggest things with AI. It's going to automatically think you put doctor in, it thinks a man. Right. Put nurse in, it thinks a woman. That's changing. There, you know, these things are all being worked on, and it's not quite as prevalent as it was when we first started using ChatGPT.
Yeah. So for somebody, you know, you've been kind of rebranding yourself in the last few months. And so for personal branding, you're using visuals, you've designed that. And when I got started 14 years ago, you helped me do that, right? Kind of helped me with my brand, with my glasses, and really helped push that out. If people want to do that, work on the personal brand, what are some tips, whether that's using AI or, you know, visuals, what are some things that we have to think about? What are people, I guess my question is, what are people noticing? How does a brand, what defines a personal brand if you're going to create something?
That's one of those, and I know people who are coming here for easy answers are going to be upset about the it depends answer, but it's the best answer in this instance. Your brand is another ecosystem, unfortunately. So it's not just your visuals. It's not just your logo. It's not just the color scheme. It's your tone of voice. It's the way you respond to comments. Do you act differently in your posts than you do in the comment section? People notice that. Do you come across differently, not act differently? You know, what's your style, your tone of voice? Do you sound like yourself when you're, do you sound like you're speaking when you're writing? Are you consistent? Because a lot of people will try a million different things. They're like, I'm going to do this video here, and I'm going to do this kind of graphic here, and I'm going to do this kind of thing, you know, in a carousel. And it's not, nobody can get that it's you doing that because it's so different every time. Different fonts, different, you know, different font or typeface, different video style, different background, you know, everything. If you look at my walls, they're the same color as my brand because I painted my walls to match. See, we got blue and we got the dark orange, you know, it's all on brand. So. Yeah. And I actually painted them long before I started doing this thing, but I like those colors. So it's another ecosystem.
It makes a lot of sense. So smaller creators, right? They have a unique voice. They want to build a community. You kind of talked about, you know, some of the different things that people have to do, like how to, you know, have a voice and unique. I love what you said about, and I've not heard anybody else say that, do your comments match your posts. And if you're watching this, this is probably one of the most important things. I don't know if mine do. I have never thought about that. I think they do because I'm pretty consistent. I think that what I say in my post, I would probably repeat in a comment, but that's something for you to think about when you have a personal brand. Don't be afraid to do that. And then the other thing is, you know, we celebrate uniqueness, right? On social media, I have really embraced this fall, that this year, you know, something that Marcus Sheridan said, difference is better than better. I keep repeating that to my clients to get them to understand if you want to just look at your competition and be better than them, it's going to take a huge effort, a huge amount of money, and then you're only going to be marginally better, right? Because they might have a budget that you can't touch and they might have been in business longer, especially if you're a new business. But if you're different, the differentiator is going to be huge. So be different. Don't be better. You know, that should be. So as people are looking forward to 2025, Mally, and they're hearing these hacks, they're following these gurus. Another thing that we said in the green room was, you know, when somebody says, you know, six-figure income, you had something funny because, you know, what does that mean, guys?
Well, they rarely tell you what they spent while they were earning that money. So like you brought it up, you said, okay, yeah, I made 100K, which is, you know, bare minimum six figures, right? But they didn't tell you that they spent 75K. So what did they take home? What was their net earning? You know, a lot, you can talk about gross earning income all you want. It's not the same. You're not taking that home. You know, you had to pay, you have contractors. Do you have employees? Do you have, oh, good Lord, the subscriptions alone. You know, we were talking about that in the green room. Just your, how much, you know, rising price of, you know, everything that we use every day. We have to pay for those either yearly or month after month. And they're part of, you know, that equation. It's an equation. And, right. And you know, you can't only give the answer. You got to show the work behind the answer. Show the work.
Yeah. So as we move towards 2025, what I really want to get to, Mally, is that you and I have been in business for a long time. There's a lot of new, young, enthusiastic people coming along. They might have answers just like you and I do. When somebody's watching this right now, a new marketer, a new business owner, how can somebody discern when somebody's just basically, I'm going to say it, bullshitting you and just, you know, throwing this thing out there? Would you say if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true? Or is there something else that is there something else we can poke that will reveal the right person or the real thing?
Mm-hmm. I would say do your research. So I was a history major in school. Research and writing were the backbone of everything I did. You do your research. Check the comments under the post. How are people responding to this? You know, what are the dissenting opinions? Is there anybody playing a devil's advocate about this? And then go check out what they've said on the topic. Don't take anything from a single post. Scroll through the feed. The other day on Threads, was somebody was on there, this digital marketer, and digital marketing is the big thing on Threads now. You know, they sell products, and there's nothing wrong with that. They sell products and they're useful. That's great. But this person had in one post talked about, you know, their six-figure income. Then a few weeks later posted that they hadn't sold a single digital product. Well, they can't be both, you know, which is it? So go through all the posts, do your due diligence, take the time to research, you know, pop the question into Google. Is this, you know, a good idea? And, you know, don't listen to the AI response. Go down and see blog posts about it. Time, effort, and research, and just your own gut and your own brain. Yeah, like you said, it sounds too good to be true. That sounds a little too easy. That sounds a little too, you know, cut and dry. If it does, go with that gut feeling and take the time to research it and look what happens. Because, you know, if somebody comes on here saying vertical video is the way to go, you know, it's just unprecedented reach in August. See, that's the part they're not going to say in August. Right. Now it's November, you know, still working for you, still getting you in front of the eyes who want to see your stuff, but it's not the unprecedented thing. And here's the funny thing. It was never unprecedented because vertical video had been working on LinkedIn. I mean, sorry, on Instagram and TikTok for
forever.
It wasn't unprecedented. It was new and unique. To LinkedIn. That was it. It wasn't unprecedented. I think that's one of my least favorite things. Unprecedented. Well, there, if you look, there is precedent.
Right. So I know we've got some people here live. Let's talk about the human element, AI 2025. What are some things that you're excited about that's coming? Maybe with AI or branding, or I see more and more B2B. Businesses leaning into the human element. I had guests last week that talked about, you know, you CEO of a company and he's on video and, you know, showing the humans behind the business. What are you excited about as we get close to 2025?
Well, there's a lot of things. So I am excited to see how ChatGPT, Claude. I'm really excited about Perplexity. Have you tried out Perplexity AI?
No.
It is sort of the AI side of the search engine. And right now it has AI, it has Perplexity Pro, which gives you, it vets everything that it puts. So it's gonna find the experts and it's gonna vet that and verify what it said, rather than right now, if you do Google search and AI pops up. And I saw something this morning, somebody put in, is 4th November a holiday? Well, it didn't understand because 4th November is the way Europeans say it in, you know, America, we say November 4th, it didn't understand. So it said, yes, the fourth Thursday in November is a holiday because it was thinking about Thanksgiving. So that was one of those things. And that was Google, you know, the immediate prompt. I was like, wow, couldn't be more wrong, you know? Right. So trust, you know, check. There's hallucinations and delusions going on in AI, but Perplexity seems pretty interesting. And I've been playing with that. I am interested to see, you know, Canva just did their whole Droptober, which was really interesting because they did add a lot of things that are going to make it easier for the beginner graphic designer. If they follow, you know, good graphic design principles, they're going to be able to create some nice graphics to add to their, you know, to their brand and, you know, to make them stand out, be that unique person online. And that's great to see. I'm not anti Canva, even though I, you know, honed my skills on, you know, the tool that everybody wants to say Photoshop is better, you know, Illustrator is better. I'm not anti Canva. I think it's going to be interesting to see what it does. Yes, they're raising prices, but I still think they're offering a lot of value at still a lower price than Photoshop.
Well,
and you know everything.
I was going to say, you know, they walked back that whole prices thing, right?
Yeah, they did. I know. Yeah. So I'm sure they're going to raise it again eventually. They're going to have to eventually raise it, but they did roll it back. So I'm excited about that. But again, they're rolling in some, you know, Photoshop Illustrator stuff into the same thing. So, you know, people are paying for either the whole Adobe Creative Suite or, so anyways, get off that track.
No.
What else am I excited about?
So visual, let's talk about visual elements. I've seen your latest creations on LinkedIn. I love the way everything looks. It definitely stands out, definitely differentiator. You seem to have chosen for your, even though your personal brands, to not have yourself featured on there. Is that a choice? Is that, is it coming?
I do share this occasional selfie. I've never really been a big selfie taker. I've always been the person behind the camera, not the person in front of the camera. So that's a little bit of something, except when I was on television, that was a long time ago. But no, I probably will add myself more. I'm testing the vertical video and I'll throw it in when it seems likely. It just hasn't been the most important thing on my radar for a while. But no, I'm not against using selfies. And okay. If you've got a selfie that makes sense, people like to do business with other people. Okay. People like to purchase from other people. People want solutions from other people. So show your people. Show you're a people. I'm a people. You know, I have bad hair days and bad eyebrow days and, you know, all the things anybody else has. And, you know, share your true self. I'm not against, I will share more of myself. I think I've always shared a lot of myself in my opinions and my rather snarky style of writing. But you're right. I don't share my face a whole lot. And no. It's not a calculated thing.
We want to see more of Mally. I want to see more of Mally. So I know when you were doing, you were doing some personal training, you were doing a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see you bring that back. Okay. Last question.
Sure.
In a world of automation, what role does human connection play in content marketing?
Automation is just another tool. It's just another tool set. It's part of the strategy. It's not the strategy. So the underlying need for humanity in everything that we do, from B2B SaaS sales, which everybody's like, oh no, that's all technology. No, people. I don't know if or when AI will completely replace people. It's certainly not now. And I don't think it's anytime in the future. But our humanity, our humanness, our people, you know, our personality is what makes us unique and stand out. And if you set that to the side, then nobody stands out. Nobody comes across as real. Nobody comes across as authentic. All these buzzwords that we're seeing, we want to see the real, the reels and the feels. That's what I always used to say, because, you know, I have to rhyme or alliterate. But, you know, authentic, valuable. We see those around all the time when people are telling you what to do. But what do those mean? They mean human.
Right.
They mean human. And that's always going to, humanity is always going to stand out more than tech. Right. Tech is great. Tech helps. Tech doesn't create reality. It actually detracts from it.
Right. All right. I love it. Mally, you gave me your new website. So I'm going to pull it up here. No hacks here, which I absolutely love that angle. Content marketing, you and I both are in content marketing. Content marketing takes time, effort, real effort, gives you real results. That's how we started this episode. Those hacks, while they might save you time initially, they're really not going to make you look very good, and they're not going to be sustainable, and they're really not going to give you the best just results. So No hacks here, Mally. Where are you on social most active? We talked about LinkedIn because that's where I am. So that's where I connect with you. You mentioned Threads. Where can people meet with you? Where would you like them to go to meet with you?
LinkedIn is probably the place I spend the most time these days. I spend a lot of time on Threads, but I mostly talk about music. But if you want to talk about music and about marketing, you can find me there. And on that, my handle is @itismallyhart. Which is the same as my Twitter handle. I used to love Twitter. I loved Twitter. It was my favorite. It was my place. And I haven't left yet, but I don't know how much longer I'll hang out. But on Twitter, I'm also @itismallyhart.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm around. You can find me. I'm on Instagram, but again, I'm one of those people that I don't always use the social channels for business. I prefer to use them to be social.
That's awesome. Well, and that makes you more human, right? Which is what we were talking about. So this is all good. Mally, I really appreciate you being here today. This has been a great conversation. I really you know, when you started posting about the hacks and, you know, you're kind of rebranding yourself, I was like, this is going to be perfect because we haven't really talked about it. And I certainly, if you expected us to call out people, you know, we decided not to do that. But you've seen the gurus out there. You've seen the self-proclaimed thought leaders. You've seen the people who are dangling that carrot, you know, and if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Don't waste your money. And if you ever need somebody to help you vet, if you're like, well, I'm this close to making a sale, but it's going to cost $8,000, ask your friends. And as Mally said, do your research, but ask your friends, would you do this? And sometimes when you take that step back from the computer and you rationalize spending a bunch of money on something, will it really move the needle? Most often the answer is no. So
or a minimal maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Spend your money wisely. Don't fall for the hacks. Do the work and you'll be fine. I'll be back next week live with another episode of Strategy Talks. Mally, thank you so much for being here. And all of you who were here live, those of you who are watching us on the replay, and especially those of you who listen to Strategy Talks' podcast, thank you for being here with us. I'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.